On episode 454 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. John Jaquish and discuss his book, Weightlifting is a Waste of Time. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/454.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Let's Get Checked. I typically get blood labs done 3 to 4 times per year, and I've dreaded it every time. It's time-consuming, expensive, and now I have to worry about why other people might be in the same waiting room with me. Let's Get Checked has a brilliant model for getting lab work done from the comfort of your own home. You order the tests you want, and they send you the testing kits with full, easy-to-understand instructions. You get your sample and send it to them with the prepaid shipping label provided. Their labs are CLIA approved and CAP accredited, which is the highest accreditation available. But what I love most about their approach is how you can order just the tests you want. Full labs can get very expensive. With Let's Get Checked, you pick and choose the labs you want, and as a result, you pay less. Cholesterol, hormones, PSA, vitamin deficiency, CRP, thyroid, they have them all, but you only pay for the tests you want. No setting a doctor's appointment, going to the doctor, finding a local testing lab, if your hometown even has one, setting another appointment, getting the sample drawn, and waiting. With Let's Get Checked, you'll have your results probably before you could even get in to see your doctor. A physician will review your results, and if there's anything going on, they have nurses that you can talk with. It's a really cool process. Let's Get Checked makes it easy for anyone to get professional testing and consultation from the comfort of their home. If you're trying to improve your health, you need measurable goals. Blood work is the best health marker you can use to know if you're on track. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/LGC and use the code ALLAN20. That's ALLAN20. And you'll get 20% off. Visit 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/LGC and be sure to use the code ALLAN20 to get your 20% discount. Rachel, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing really good. Doing really good.
Good.
This is an exciting week for us here in Panama. You know, up until this point, we've been on a curfew and a weekend quarantine. And so what that means is from 7 at night till 5 in the morning, you're not allowed out. And if you get caught out, they arrest you. And then over the weekend, it's complete quarantine. So you're supposed to stay home and not go out on Saturdays and Sundays. So from 7 o'clock Friday night until Monday morning at 5 o'clock, you're not supposed to be out. And so they will arrest you, but they're giving us back our Saturdays.
And oh, yay.
They're raising the curfew from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock. So now the curfew will be 11 to 5, which I'm asleep then anyway, although
sure.
I do wake up sometimes before 5, but I'm not rushing out the door then. I'm having some coffee.
Good.
I'm happy I got the Saturdays. It's going to make hitting my goal of 100 miles a month a little easier. When you add a whole extra day, that's a 20% increase in days and available
time. For sure.
So
awesome.
Pretty excited about that. I don't have to spend my Saturdays in my apartment.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So what's going on in your world?
Same old. I don't have quite the strict curfew as you guys have, but not a whole lot new here. Trying out some new planks. I'm bored with your traditional plank, so I've tried some new variations this week. I've done the walk down where you get up kind of in a push-up position and put your forearms down and get back up, and a couple of reaching ones and side planks, and yeah, it's been entertaining.
Okay, let me give you a couple more.
Okay.
Okay, so this one is called a three-tap plank.
Okay.
Okay. And so you get into the regular plank with your arms extended. So it's the push-up style position.
Okay.
Then what you're going to do is you're going to take your right hand off the floor, and you're going to touch your left shoulder.
Oh.
And then you're going to touch your right shoulder.
Oh.
And then you're going to put your arm back on the ground.
Okay.
And then you take your left arm mm-hmm. and you reach up and you touch your right shoulder and then touch your left shoulder and put your hand on the ground. That's one Ooh. Repetition.
That's fantastic.
Okay. So that's a good one. And then if you're struggling with the standard plank, you know, mm-hmm. some people will do them on their elbows, which is fine. Or you can mm-hmm. do them with your hands up, whichever mm-hmm. works better, your shoulder strength, your upper body strength. Mm-hmm. both of them are fine. But if you struggle with both of those, you just don't feel like you have the abdominal strength to do that. Mm-hmm. I recommend people do, and it's basically a yoga move. It's called the bird dog. Are you familiar with the bird dog?
I don't think so.
Okay. With the bird dog, you get on your hands and knees.
Okay.
Okay. And then you want to raise your right arm and point it straight forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to raise your left leg.
Oh,
you try to hold that position. Now, once you get really good at it, you should be able to hold that position for a full minute.
Oh, boy.
But you'll shake. You'll shake.
Yeah.
It happened. I was using this in a class, and the shake psalm came on, and they were all just kind of laughing because it's like, this is appropriate. And then after you get down on the right side, then, of course, you switch sides. So left arm out, and then your right leg up, and you hold Excellent. That. So that's called the bird dog. So those are Excellent. Two planks that you can add to your repertoire.
I absolutely will give that a try. Thank you.
Good deal. All right. So let's introduce our guest.
All right.
Our guest today approaches health and fitness problems as a scientist and inventor. He invented the OsteoStrong to help fight osteoporosis, the X3 bar to help optimize strength training, along with several other products to help you optimize your health and fitness. With no further ado, here's Dr. John Jaquish. Dr. Jaquish, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, when you write a book, weightlifting is a waste of time. So is cardio, but there's a better way to have the body you want. You're going to get some personal trainers hating at first until they actually take the time to read the book, which I did. And I agree. When I first saw it, I was like, wait a minute. That's not entirely true until you actually start looking at some of the science behind what you're talking about and why you're saying the way we're doing weightlifting today is a mistake. The way we're doing cardio and what we're doing it for is a mistake. There are better ways to get the same results. And that's really what you're...
Better results.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, it's sometimes it's really hard. I'll talk to a woman. I'll say, okay, look, I want you to do some strength training because you want to get stronger. And their initial response is, but I don't want to get big and bulky. And, you know, I just want to lose weight. And, in the book, you cite some studies, which I think are critical, but you also go a little bit deeper to why doing strength training is important for weight loss and, you know, waist circumference and things like that, better so maybe than even cardio. Can you get into that?
So cardio, like your central nervous system is going to make changes to your body to a degree based on your environment. Now, if the environment you're putting your body in is to go long distances, run long distances or bike long distances, it's going to try and find a homeostasis that's going to give you some advantages, and it's going to adapt to that environment. Well, if you adapt to that environment, you have to think about, and let's just use the analogy, an economy car versus a Formula One car. So let's say you're a weightlifter, so you're more like a Formula One car. You're built for short distance, speed, explosiveness. So what do you have? You have a powerful chassis, very high bone density. Now, weight training is actually not heavy enough ever for bone density, but that's beside the point. And that has to do with a lot of its drawbacks. But so powerful chassis, bigger engine, you know, more muscle. That bigger engine is going to draw more fuel and it's going to disable you from going as far, even burning the same amount of energy. When I run up a flight of stairs and like I was in the Munich airport recently, I don't know if you know the Munich airport, but it's up and down. You're running up, you're running down. Especially if you're like, you have a tight connection because you got to go through immigration there. Like I'm winded. And then my friend, you know, guy, you know, I do some work with, we're going to Moscow. And And he says, oh, your cardiovascular is terrible. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's better than yours. I just weigh 100 pounds more than you. And that weight is muscle. I'm not just like taller and bigger. Like, so my quadriceps are probably 3 times bigger than yours. And when they contract, they draw a lot of blood. So I am not efficient for distance. That doesn't mean I have bad cardio health. The health of the heart and the distance you're able to run are two totally different subjects. So when you look at what the body is going to do when you start running long distances, it thinks that it needs to give you that output with the least amount of fuel used. So you lose bone density. Plenty of research on this. You lose muscle. Cortisol gets upregulated. Cortisol does two things. It lessens your muscle. It gets rid of muscle. And it protects your body fat so that you don't metabolize the body fat. So cardio, in essence, keeps you fatter longer and sacrifices muscle tissue. So last I checked, unless you want to be a distance runner, it's giving you the opposite of what you think you're getting, like completely the opposite. And then you can look at marathon runners versus sprinters. The marathon runners are what's called skinny fat. So yeah, they don't weigh a lot, but you can't see much visible musculature. You see kind of slumped shoulders, exaggerated kyphosis, because they don't even have the muscle to keep their bodies upright. They've lost so much of the muscle, but then they're still soft. Like, they still kind of look mushy, and you can see cellulite in various places, and then on these athletes. So cardio is just not the answer unless you just want to be a distance runner. And that's a thing, and that's fine. But if you're not going to be that, you got to know what that activity will do to you is not what you want at all. It'll do the opposite. So when it comes to strength training, muscle is an engine that's running all the time and it influences your metabolic rate. So, you know, as I have gained muscle, I'm burning more calories all the time. And so that's big, but also as I lift, I upregulate growth hormone. I upregulate testosterone. So to ensure that I have the building blocks for muscle growth, and the growth hormone is anti-catabolic. So even if I go into a caloric deficit, which I frequently do, I'm not losing the muscle at all. And so when you do weight training, and, you know, like I do push the point, variable resistance is more powerful than regular weight training. But weight training in the most efficient way, let's call it resistance training because it's not really weight training.
Yeah, that's the word I use.
Right. Like, I didn't say resistance training is a waste of time.
Yeah.
But weight training is a waste of time. So when you apply the resistance in the most scientifically proven way, you will have all kinds of anabolic effects, build muscle. And if you have your nutrition right, you can build muscle and lose fat at the same time.
Yeah. Now, you were working on a problem. It's kind of what started you down this whole path. Your mother was dealing with bone density issues. Mm-hmm. And so you started saying, what can I do to help her improve her life? And so you started working on a product to basically work on bone density that's been quite successful. Mm-hmm. And while you were doing that work, you not stumbled upon, but you started noticing the strength curve. And you started noticing some things about the strength curve that I think were missing in the past. So, for example, Nautilus back in the 70s put these cams on their equipment so that you got a variable style of resistance as you worked. If we work with most of the resistance bands that are out there today, or even like a Bowflex in the old days, I assume they're still using some form of band. As the band got longer, the resistance was variable. So I think that the concept of variable training has been out there for quite some time, but you've kind of come across something that says, look, that we didn't understand the strength curve well enough to design that equipment well enough. Can you talk about the strength curve and why it's so important for resistance training?
So what I documented in some research that I ended up doing in a London hospital, and this was for the bone density, was, you're probably going to be able to hear me a little bit better if I do this, but you have, when you're back here, you have X amount of weight you can hold. When you're out here, you have 7X. So why would we ever work out with a weight that's the same when we have different capacity? So, you know, the weight's heavy in the weakest range of motion, and then it's really not that heavy at all in the other range of motion. So I just, you know, like I said to myself, wow, weightlifting is so inefficient as a muscular stimulus. And then the next question was, well, maybe I should just train with bands. But then once you look at a band and what a band can do to you, once you get to a band that will deliver load that's relevant to strength, this happens. Your wrists get twisted. And when it's wrists and ankles, most specifically, wrists and ankles get twisted. So now you're just causing a different type of injury than you'd normally get from weight training. So the bands by themselves are totally useless. There's a couple hucksters out there who see the success of my product and then they launched a different one that's just like a bag of bands. And it's like, yeah, okay, you can't get a workout from that, but you can certainly charge people money for it. But you're just not going to stimulate any growth. So what I did was I developed an Olympic bar that can hold as much or more than a regular bar. Solid steel on the inside connected. I'll show you this. So, you know, there's a solid steel core and you can see both hooks rotating.
Yeah.
So the wrist is always kept neutral. And then the exterior is anodized aluminum, milled to the millionth, like an iPhone, because I want people to grab it and realize that this is not just some other fitness product made out of cheap plastic or whatever. Like this is it. This is like the iPhone of fitness equipment. And now I have over 40 professional athletes using X3 as their main strength development tool and a joint protection tool. Now, of course, professional athletes, they have to do like their drills and stuff. Like skill training has become a lot more important with athletes. I was just on a podcast talking about this with a former NFL guy. And so like they do their skill training, but then X3 is their strength.
And I think some of the things that you went into are really, really important is one, understanding. Yes. I think anyone that's done just something as simple as a push-up, they notice that as they go down and get to the bottom position, it's a lot harder than it was when they were up at the top because they can't recruit as much muscle. So they're much weaker there. And that's why a lot of people that struggle with push-ups just do half push-ups. You mentioned that in the book, that's yeah. The strength curve. That's our recognition of the strength curve and thinking if we go down any further, we're probably not going to come back up. That's just our mind turning off because it says, you can't do this. So, you know, that's the one thing. The other thing I think that's really important is you've taken the time to think about how band work can be improved by making sure that the bar does what Olympic bars do, which is rotate. If you've ever had one of those screw cap kinds and they don't rotate, you feel it when you're trying to move that bar because the weights are static.
You can't really lift. You have neural inhibition. It makes the joints very uncomfortable and muscles start to shut off. So your body's protecting yourself. Yeah. So it's just like you can't exercise in any serious manner.
And then you have the foot plate, which I think is also critical because that's going to keep the ankles from feeling that resistance. Whereas a normal band set, you know, with just like the handles, someone's going to stand on the band and use their ankles and try to press overhead. Well, as they start getting stronger with that, that's basically going to start turning their ankles. So this gives them the capacity to work as hard as they want to. And I think I saw the bands go up to like 600 pounds. So there's not anyone I can think of that's not going to get a good workout with up to 600 pounds of resistance.
Everything we do is high reps. So it's like 600 pounds with, you know, 30 repetitions. Like, you're not going to bump into anybody. In fact, the NFL guys, not a single one uses the heaviest band. And it's not, and it's really funny because there are fans of the product who do, like, you're supposed to do 15 reps minimum, but then they get the heavy band and they'll do maybe like 10 sloppy kind of reps where they're like twisting their body and stuff like that. And then they're like, oh, I'm stronger than guys in the NFL. that's yeah. a lot of attitudes online. Is it's not really about how you perform, it's about how you look on the or how you think you look on the video you post on Facebook.
Yeah. And that's just ego. And I'd say if you're over 40 and you're doing strength training, you're doing resistance training, you need to leave the ego at the door. You need to do work that's efficient and effective. You need to make sure that you don't injure yourself, because once you injure yourself, you're out of the game until you recover. And when you're over the age of 40, that's just that much more difficult to do. Yeah. So this checks off a lot of really good boxes. So I'm pretty excited about this product. This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Vault Health. Guys, we need to discuss the elephant in the room. Most of us really struggle to manage certain health issues, especially when it affects things we don't want to talk about, like our libido and vitality. Yes, I'm talking about low T. Did you know that 40% of men over 40 suffer from low T? Low T can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, ED, fatigue and poor sleep, low energy, and depression. These can completely dismantle any efforts you're making to be healthy and fit. If you're dealing with one or more of these, it's worth booking a free online consultation with a Vault physician at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/vault. Vault is all about discretion. After your free consultation and you agree you want treatment, they'll send a phlebotomist to your home to do a blood draw. You'll get a personalized doctor-reviewed treatment plan. This can be with pills, cream, or injections. The medications are mailed to your home. There's nothing macho about neglecting your health. If you live in the United States and you're struggling, it's worth learning more at Vault Health. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/vault today. That's 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/vault. Now, you also got into the topic, which I think is really important, because I think when a lot of people want to build mass, they're thinking, oh, I've got to hit the carbs, I've got to hit the protein, and I go low fat. So I'm eating chicken and I'm eating rice and I'm just tuna and pasta and I'm just going after it. But you actually follow a plan of ketosis and intermittent fasting. Would you talk a little bit about your protocols and how you're able to build the mass that you have? Because I'm looking at you, you're massive. Build the mass that you have while still practicing ketosis and intermittent fasting.
So the conclusion I came to had mostly to do with realizing protein recommendations and understanding protein quality. So like whey protein, it's easy to get your protein if you count whey protein, but the problem is only 18% of the whey protein is of the proper amino acid ratios. So 82% goes through you as waste. So it's really not worth it to just even bother with whey protein. People get so upset, probably because they have 6 months of whey protein in their pantry. It's not what they want to hear. Yeah, it's not. It's not good.
It's cheap. It's the most costless. Product you could have relative to actually eating some whole food. It's actually a little cheaper. If I look at it and say, oh, I can get 30 grams of protein with this $2 scoop of protein powder, or I can go buy, a steak and pay, maybe $4, $5, $6 for that at the store. It appears cost effective.
Well, whey used to be the byproduct of pasteurizing, processing milk. And then it was thrown away. It was garbage. And so it was Dan Duchesne who started buying it. You just say, hey, can I have that trash of yours? And they're like, yeah, like a buck every chemical drum or whatever. And then that's where, that's really where protein, whey protein supplements came from. It was garbage.
There you go. But you do follow ketosis, but you're just making sure that the quality of your protein is such that you're able to get the protein you need. And that helps you maintain your muscle mass and continue to maintain strength.
Right. I don't use the word. I mean, I'm in ketosis all the time. But what's interesting is I don't use the word much because there's a lot of confusion around it. Like, people think to get in ketosis, you need to eat fat. That is 100% not true. To get into ketosis, you need to not eat carbohydrates. Now, your body turns to fat for fuel, but it could get that fat through what you're eating. This is true. But it could also get the fat from, you know, the Krispy Kreme donut you had when you were 8 years old, which is in your gut. So let's get it from there. So that's really where I want people to focus.
Well, you definitely do a lot of research. And when you want to solve a problem, by God, you solve it.
Yeah, and I document it. Because I tell people, sometimes I get like a DM or something. It says, what's your opinion on this or what's your opinion on that? I'm like, I don't have any opinions. I'll tell you if there's research on that and what and how we could view that research and what the weaknesses and strengths of that research are. But there are no opinions. Like, I won't volunteer my opinion on really anything from a biological standpoint. Like, I can say there's no research. Here are the things that might be happening. But I won't weight those one way or the other because, you know. So yeah. I guess my point is I'm always trying to be as referenced, or I'm trying to reference other research as much as possible. So, because I'm saying so many controversial things, nobody would believe it if it were just like, this is, you know, what I think. If I can show, if I can cite a bunch of studies and go, well, you know, these researchers that Dr. Jaquish doesn't know, you know, and years before he launched his products came to these conclusions. So, you know, like they couldn't kick and scream about it. Unfortunately, people are dogmatic about it.
Yeah.
I actually get trolled for nutrition even more so than my product.
I mean, I can understand that because, and I was actually thinking about this. I'm working on another book, a little ebook that I'm going to put out, and, I was actually thinking about, you know, why does someone get so mad when you have a food approach or a way of eating approach that is so different than theirs that they're, you know, they literally almost like politics want to come to blows about how wrong you are. And it is, it's just dogma. It's just, they're tied and married to their idea. You know, sometimes when you're looking at research even, which is cool because, you know, you made the comment that most of the research you're following, these guys just never figured out how to productize what they were finding. You have. So, you know, boo-hoo on them if they feel bad about it, but you did. You're taking the time to think about it and come up with solutions, which is huge because that's what we need. We don't, you know, science is great, but if it sits in a journal unread for 20 years, it's not really doing us a ton of good.
Right.
Occasionally something will come up, you know, like Louis Simmons at Westside, you know, put bands and cable and chains over the bars and his athletes got really freaking strong. And everybody's like, what's he doing? And a few people went in there and basically spied on what he was doing, his conjugate method. And it got out. It's like, yeah, this is what he's doing. This is how his athletes are getting really, really strong. And all you've really done is take some of that same, you figured out exactly what the optimal strength curve is and said, okay, if we have an appliance that allows them to work out with this kind of strength curve, or at least as close to it as we can approximate with what technology we have today.
You know, I'm dead on. I measured the hell out of
I saw the curves online. I was like, yeah, he's right there. You know, it's not, there's not much, much little bit to get in there, but it's there. And so, you know, and you took the time to think about what are the other problems we're going to have with a piece of kit like this. If we one, don't think about turning ankles, and we don't think about the wrists, and we don't think about the biomechanics of how this is all going to work, so that we're, you know, in a way, optimizing without the injury. So again, I'm really pleased with your product. I think it's really, really cool.
Thank you.
Now, if someone, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
So the easiest one is you grow when you sleep. You repair cells when you sleep. So don't compromise your sleep, which really means don't drink alcohol. That's not the answer a lot of people want to hear, or, you know, drink it at the minimum, but it really affects your sleep. If you do a sleep monitor, like a motion detector, on the, you know, next to you in the bed, and like, you know, you can switch your phone to do this. There's a couple of different sleep analysis apps. And you'll notice you thrash around all night when you have a lot of alcohol in your system. When you don't, you don't. And you sleep much better, and you can have a much better repair of damaged cells. And then, you know, the growth, just the muscle protein synthesis that comes with proper strategic strength training. Yeah. 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 So, like, that's the easiest one. Getting better sleep by cutting down or out alcohol. So the other two really have to do with the two pieces of information we have that lead to long life. So the two greatest drivers of long life, despite what you read on, you know, nutritionalfacts.com, which should really be called nutritionallies.com, two greatest drivers are high levels of strength and low levels of body fat. So if you want to live a long time, focus on those two things. So that means strength training, not cardio. That means focusing on things like ketosis if you want a low body fat, animal protein, because that's going to make you leaner, like you know, vegan nutrition, plant-based nutrition. Now, from a vegan perspective, you know, there's not a lot of data on the pure vegan, but you notice they're weak with a lot of body fat. So they have two things going on that are going to cause them to live shorter lives, not longer lives. And then, you know, when you look at the Western diet, like right now, people are practically vegan. 70% of the Western diet is plant-based, because remember, vegans are not necessarily eating vegetables. Bread is vegan, right? So they're having all kinds of, you know, pastries and little nut bars that have nuts from every continent in the world. That, by the way, if you want to talk about destroying the environment, there we go. You know, sourcing ingredients from every corner of the world to make some little fake health bar. Like, that's a stupid decision. So, you know, like some of the vegans I know, they brag about how Oreos are vegan, and they eat like sleeves of Oreos for dinner or at dinner time. I'm sure they wouldn't call it dinner, but like, you're just getting fatter. Like, you're just getting fatter. That's all you're doing. And you're worsening your cellular health, your metabolic health, your hemoglobin A1C score, all the things that they're saying on the news to do the opposite of. But then, you know, of course, like, the American Diabetes Association gives out cookies at their events. Like, that's like going to an AA meeting and pouring free shots. It doesn't make any sense at all. But, you know, like, you can tell somebody they smoke too much. You can tell somebody they drink too much. You tell somebody they eat too much, and it's like you insulted their ancestors. So unfortunately, that's the situation we live in. So
those I've been doing this for 5 years, and I can just tell you, it's like I have a guest on and we don't exactly see eye to eye on the nutrition front. It's never a pleasant conversation for either of us. So, you know, I don't push my own out there. You know, I'm like, I'm agnostic generally. I say, eat what you're going to eat, because it doesn't matter what I tell you to eat. You're going to still eat what you want to eat. But I'm just saying, you're right. If we're not paying attention to the quality of our food, you know, quality of our protein, we're not paying attention to what we're putting in our mouths. It really doesn't matter what else we try to do for our health. It's just not going to happen.
Yep.
So Dr. Jaquez, thank you for being on the show. If someone wanted to learn more about you, the X3 and the protein supplements and things that you have, where would you like for me to send them?
I made a landing page with all the links to everything, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. So go to drj.com, D-O-C-T-O-R, the letter J.com.
Cool. Well, you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/545, and I'll be sure to have a link there. So Dr. Jaquez, thank you for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Alan, thanks for having me. This was great.
Well, Rachel, that was a really interesting talk. It's kind of interesting to see John on video. I took some videos, and I'll be posting those as promos for this episode. So I encourage you guys to go check those out on our Facebook group. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group, and that'll take you to the Facebook group. I'll have a couple of videos posted there of John and me having this conversation. Now, the interesting thing is, when you see John, he looks like a bouncer. He quite literally looks like the guy. If you walked up to the club, you got the guy who's got his arms crossed in front of his chest, and you're kind of like, I'm not going to mess with that guy. He also is bald. But he just looks like a bouncer. But he's a really, really smart guy. He's an inventor. He's a scientist. He looks at data, and he solves problems. And so, his piece of equipment, X3. I'm not joking. You know, right now I'm not getting any money from John to say this, but I'm going to buy one, and I'm gonna check it out, because I think it is important to optimize what you can. Again, if you're not lifting weights at all, or you're not doing any resistance training at all, shame on you. Your bones and your muscles are not happy, I can tell you right now, and you're missing a big pillar of our health and fitness by not doing resistance training. But just start with something. You know, the resistance bands that you can buy on Amazon, and I'll have a link in the show notes to some. Those are a really great little tool for you to get some exercise at home, and they fit in your suitcase, so you can carry them anywhere you are. You can get your resistance workout done, and resistance bands are just a great adjunct to body weight movement, because it just gives you an opportunity to do things you can't do with just body weight. So, but he has a specialized tool, and I like gadgets and I like playing with stuff. So I'm going to probably buy his equipment. So understanding that we can do better with science. I mean, you know, a lot of times I poo-poo supplements, I poo-poo exogenous ketones last week. Forgive me, Dr. Laurie. And I poo-poo a lot of other stuff, but there's a time and place when those things matter. You know, I talked about the guys that were lifting at Westside and how they were using chains and bands to maximize their effort. They had a specific task to get really freaking strong. And you might not want to get that strong, but if you want your deadlift to get heavier, or you want your squat to get heavier, training your body the right way will help that happen. And so what's going to happen for someone that does both, you're going to fatigue your muscles through the full range of motion a lot better than you would if you just did the exercise itself. So I see the tool, as a great tool. And again, use the word tool. I don't like to use the same word twice in a sentence, but it is a tool, and it's a tool for allowing you to get stronger. He put a lot of thought into how it's designed and how it's built. So it's a pretty cool thing, and it's something that weighs like 17 pounds. So it's something you can actually carry around with you. And like I said, just the same convenience you kind of have with bands, although these are probably and likely much better, is going to give you a gym in your hotel room, and give you a gym at your house, in a time when people don't necessarily want to get out and about around a lot of people, and like in a gym, because our gym's still closed here. they basically lumped us in with discos and casinos and concerts mm-hmm. and movie theaters. So yeah, we're just that important, but no gyms here. So if I want to do something at home, this is a pretty cool piece of kit to have.
Yeah, I'm actually really intrigued by his results with bands. Usually when I think of a big bulky guy, a bouncer type guy, I'm thinking big heavy weights, yeah. Big Olympic bars, big fat plates. Yeah, serious weightlifting. And I'm pretty intrigued that he can get some really good results with this program or this tool.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is he's even got professional athletes working with it. So, you know, it's not a toy and it's not the little bands that you're buying on Amazon. Right. But again, if you're not doing anything, they're the start. That's where you go. You get those bands, you do body mm-hmm. weight movement. And if you have any questions about it, email me. I'm here, you know, I'm here mm-hmm. to help you figure that out. But if you're getting into the training and, you know, scary to get under a lot of weight when you're doing a bench press, it's scary to get under yeah. a lot of weight when you're doing squats. Yeah. And there's opportunities for you to injure yourself when you're moving a lot of weight. So here's a band that's going to work within your strength curve so that you're, you know, getting stronger through the full range of motion. And he's built it to be generally safe. So I think it's a really cool toy.
That's something I can see having in our gym too, especially if I'm working out by myself. I don't want to be crushed by some heavy Olympic bar, but I'm also interested in the strength curve and the kind of the specificity behind using bands to get kind of a different workout than your basic dumbbell, barbell yeah. type move.
Well, the equivalent, because, you know, I'm kind of been in this lifting mode for a long time in my life. Mm-hmm. But one of the core things that comes out is when you do push-ups, you can watch someone doing push-ups or watch someone doing pull-ups, and you'll notice how they don't go all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they don't go all the way down is because it's so hard.
It is.
You know, it's like I go to the bottom, I might not make it back up to the top. You know, I'm not going to take a deep squat like I'm supposed to. I'm going to take those little half squats and risk my knees mm-hmm. because it's hard to get back up. Whereas mm-hmm. with this piece of equipment, you're working that weak part hard enough for that weak part, and you're working your strong parts as hard as your strong parts can work. So mm-hmm. you can find that equilibrium where you're getting the best work. So, you know, understanding that having that variable resistance is going to help you get a better workout is, like I said, really, really cool. And the way we used to do it as bodybuilders would be this, is we knew that we could lift a lot more weight within that strong zone. So we would mm-hmm. do partial reps there. Okay. And we knew we couldn't lift as much in those weak ranges. So when mm-hmm. we found our sticking points, we would work lightweights through the heavier, you know, heavier, but lightweights there.
Okay.
You know, since lightweights, but you know, not as heavy as our strong. So you would do these partial reps, you know, and that's cool if you're trying to build muscle and you know, look buff, which, you know, which when I was doing it was kind of the goal. But, you know, that's not practical for a lot of people to say, okay, I'm going to do, you know, partial reps in this zone, and then I'm going to go change the weights and do more reps in this zone, and then I'm going to do more weight in this zone. Mm-hmm. That's not a practical workout for most people. And it's not strength training. That's bodybuilding. It's very different kind of lifting, approach. But what he's allowing to do is within the strength area for you to use that same concept and just work the whole range of motion. And you don't even have to change bars or change weights. Mm-hmm. You just do the work. So I think it's a great adjunct to a normal weightlifting program. I'm not going to go mm-hmm. as far as John went as to say lifting weights is a waste of time. Cardio too. Yeah. I'm sorry, John.
Bold. Yeah. It's a bold statement.
It is. I told him. I said, you know, hey, of course I'm getting you on this podcast because I've got something to say to you. But he's a big guy, so I probably wouldn't say that. I'd probably just say, good job, John. Good job. But anyway, it's, you know, I feel good moving weight, you know, and I don't get the exact same satisfaction moving band. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is a motivational factor for me to get under a bar, to pick up a bar from the ground. I love deadlifts. I love deadlifts. it's my favorite thing, but besides steak, and oysters and a couple other things, but it's up there. Anyway, so yeah, I love moving weight. I love that feeling of being able to functionally do something. And so, but bands can be a great adjunct if I, you know, maybe I don't want to move that much weight, or I'm sticking in my tall, you know, sticking at the top,
right.
I'm, you know, sticking at the bottom, and I'm just not getting a good start on my lift. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I know I can get this weight, but I just got to be able to build strength in that zone. Now there's ways I could do that. You know, I could put it on a rack, and I could lift partials, and I could do boxes, and I could elevate my feet, and I could do some things to kind of change those angles and change that weight within those angles. But again, not my favorite thing, and too much time dedicated to something like that. And in the end, it's not adding a tremendous amount of value to my life other than just feeling good about what I'm doing. Bands are going to be a great adjunct to what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll keep things interesting in the gym and give you something different to do, and you won't be stuck in a rut or get bored doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and call it a day, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Take care.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we discuss how to use seasonal ketosis as a part of an ancestral-based healthy lifestyle. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.